I know we really wanted to keep politics out of our video games, but politics came into your video games in a huge way this week. Let's dive into the new economic normal. Tonight is April 6th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Man, there's so much cool stuff I wanted to talk about this week. And I'm not going to. Because we're going to have to talk about some reality here for a little bit and do some math. There's going to be some math tonight. But this is going to be a very important topic tonight and one that, you know, people should really understand. And so... let's dive into some of the reality. So let's welcome. This is a reality-based edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So come join us and interact with the show directly, or you can join us in our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can go to give us things that you want us to talk about or react to things that happen throughout the week, because a lot of things can happen in a week. And I understand. Fifth Ream says, yuck, reality. I play games to avoid reality. Me too. Unfortunately, reality comes in and does a wallop. So I'm like, there was actually a lot of stuff. Like midweek, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this. I can't wait to talk about other things. I mean, like, everybody's talking about the Minecraft movie. Now, I haven't seen the Minecraft movie, but I did get the Minecraft Happy Meal. Or not the Happy Meal. They actually, they do this. They have the Happy Meal, but then they also just have, like, the Big Mac meal. So they know adults are going to be getting this. And so I did get that. And it, you know, they have like the Minecraft themed boxes for everything. And even the French fries inside the box are Minecraft. And I did get two of the toys. One is my wife's. She got the bird person is hers. And I got the burger, the Big Mac were the two toys of the six. I did not get a Grimace or anything like that. But yeah, so I got that. And I'm like, oh, cool. We could talk about. No. There's also a lot of incidents at movie theaters in the Minecraft movie because people don't know how to behave in a movie theater. There's like police shutting down showings, and it's like, you know, the Swifties couldn't keep it together during the Eras Tour. Theater kids couldn't keep it together during Wicked. They wanted to sing along to every song. And so a lot of the memes in the Minecraft movie are getting acted upon, and people are being rowdy in the theaters. And apparently that's supposed to be okay. And so unfortunately, not going to be talking about the Minecraft movie. I won't even be talking about the brand new Microsoft Copilot thing that they did where they let you play an AI-generated version of Quake 2 in your browser. And if you look away for 0.9 seconds, it forgets what was there. So if like an enemy's coming after you, you just turn around and it goes away. And it's not great. But apparently this is the future of gaming. We're not going to talk about that. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch 2 and what happened after the Direct. Now, we did do a stream on Wednesday night. I watched the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct earlier in the day. I did not watch it live, but I watched it earlier in the day. And then Rob Roberts from Orange Silence Radio went radio silent all day, did not know anything about it. Well, he was spoiled on two things. But they were minor things. So we watched it together. It is here on the VOG Network Twitch channel, and you can watch it. We even highlighted it. It's, you know, something that you can watch. And you can see how many of the predictions Rob got wrong, how many he got right, but how many got wrong. There's a lot of stuff in there about what they're releasing, the specs, and the things that they're doing, the games that they're releasing. I was able to get some answers about some things. One thing that was answered in the Nintendo Treehouse, if you were there, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they're going to do this. So that one of the things they're releasing is the GameCube, the GameCube collection for Nintendo Switch Online. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if they had a widescreen mode? Because like F-Zero GX had widescreen. You could turn it into widescreen because it had, you could have component cables that went out, and it was progressive scan. It was 480p instead of 480i. Well, on the Treehouse stream, they actually showed it going into widescreen. They turned it and Soul Calibur 2 also had a widescreen mode. I didn't actually know that. But both of them go into widescreen mode. It looks beautiful. F-Zero GX, I still contend, was the most beautiful game of that entire generation of consoles, which includes the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox. F-Zero GX was really that for me for that generation. And it really just looks amazing. The upscaling they did with the models and stuff, because it's not just a pixel upscale, it's polygonal, which you can really see when they demo Soul Calibur 2. You can actually see that like the 3D models look crisp and amazing, even in 4K, because they were broadcast in the Treehouse Live in 4K. But then when you see like the lettering and the sprites, and they're all pixelated and so many jagged edges and stuff, you can tell that there's a lot to that emulation. It is doing a lot of good upscaling, as well, not just, you know, blowing up pixels or anything like that. They're actually like upscaling the 3D models, but not necessarily the 2D. So it is kind of, it's kind of weird. Anyway, it was announced. It was unveiled. It's coming out June 5th. And pre-orders were going to start on April 9th. They were going to start next Wednesday. So the price, they actually did not put the price in the Direct. They did not mention the price in the Direct because they knew, because they filmed the Direct like a month and a half ago. They filmed the Direct like a month and a half or 2 months ago. So they didn't know what the price was going to be because they didn't know what the economic realities were going to be. They scheduled the Direct like a month and a half ago. They didn't realize that the United States government was going to do a whole bunch of economic changes that shook the global markets on the same day as their Direct. So The Verge reports that Nintendo is pushing back pre-orders for the Switch 2 due to concerns about President Donald Trump's newly announced tariffs. According to a statement sent by The Verge, sent to The Verge by Eddie Garcia on behalf of Nintendo, it says that pre-orders will no longer begin on April 9th. They say, quote, pre-orders for Nintendo Switch in the U.S. will not start April 9th, 2025, in order to assess the potential impact of tariffs and evolving market conditions. Nintendo will update timing at a later date. The launch date of June 5th, 2025 is unchanged, unquote. So, the price, everybody had sticker shock, because the base price was $449, or 400, let's go 450. It's whatever, nine, you know what I'm saying. But it's 450 for the base model, and then 500 if you want Mario Kart World bundled in. And Mario Kart World, by the way, is an $80 title. I don't think that is, that $80 is indicative of any of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight, but it is something to know that we went from $60 to $70 games, and then about 2 years later, now we're in the $80 game category. Expect Grand Theft Auto 6 to be somewhere between $80, $90, or $100 for the base thing. So, pre-orders, though, have been postponed because a pre-order is a contract of you can buy it at this price. And I believe that just the timing really sucked for Nintendo, and the absolute destruction of the global economy that happened the exact same day as their Direct, and they released the prices right after the Direct. They released them in text form on their website. I think it blindsided them. And I know that a lot of people feel that Nintendo's going to lower the price because all on the Treehouse live streams, basically all that they say in the chat is lower the price. $449 is way too much for the Nintendo Switch 2. Nobody wants to pay that. And in reality, the price is probably going to have to go up in the United States. Now, and Questbuster says the declaration of a worldwide trade war was on no one's card. So I understand that this is a video game podcast, and I do my best to not really talk about politics and my opinions on politics and my opinions on policies here. if you see me in chat or see me in Discord, you know what they are. I don't hide them, but I know that there are people with a lot of different opinions here that listen to this that may you probably disagree with me politically, but because I don't make it my entire identity, you're probably fine with still listening. So instead of debating if this is right or wrong, I want to talk about what is actually going to happen. Instead of saying, this is what we should have done, I'm going to be like, okay, if this is the way it's going to be, this is what it means. Kotaku reports that fans had the sticker shock, but it's going to probably get a little bit higher. Now, the shockingly high tariffs that we didn't expect are going to push the price higher. So let's talk about what are tariffs. And you've probably heard people say that, oh, you know, it's to bring manufacturing back to America. What a tariff is it is a tax that the importing company pays on something, and they pay it to the federal government. It is to punish the company that is importing a good for not making it in America. That is what the tax is. It is a tax on the importer. Now, what a lot of importers will do is that then they will raise the price to cover the tax. So even though it is not a line item on your receipt, like let's say a sales tax is, and there's going to be somebody in chat, my state has no sales taxes. Good. That's great. Awesome. But for a lot of us, there's a line item on your receipt that says sales tax, and that is the portion of your purchase that goes to your state government. The tariff is a line item on the importer that's bringing that boat over from China, from wherever, Europe or anywhere really, an island that has only penguins on it. That is the line item that they pay to the federal government as a penalty for purchasing that item outside of the United States. So you're right. So a lot of people are like, well, it's not a tax on the consumers, it's a tax on businesses. Yes. And it is on top of, because Ronma says something like a VAT for Europe, which is value-added tax. Yes, it's on top of that. This is on top of, and sometimes it depends on what gets applied first. We're going to get into that a little bit when we talk about how this is affecting the board games and tabletop games, because it cascades at that point. It was really fascinating to read some of this stuff, and we are going to get to that. So, like I said, I wish I could talk about like the cool things I thought about Mario Kart World outside of the price. I wish I could talk about the cool things that I saw with you know the GameCube stuff. But unfortunately, I'm going to talk about this instead tonight. I apologize. If you don't want to hear this, thank you for tuning in. But we're going to get into this a little bit. So the Trump administration revealed a new 10% tariff across the board tariff for all foreign imports, as well as a bevy of reciprocal tariffs aimed at individual countries that the president claims are unfairly undercutting the U.S. when it comes to trade. This includes tariffs of 34% on China and up to 46% on Vietnam, where much of the manufacturing for the Switch 2 takes place. Cambodia, another country Nintendo sources from, would face a 49% tariff. The new tax hikes are set to go into effect on April 5th. And that was yesterday, and this article was from before. So essentially what's happened is that the 10% went into effect yesterday. The higher, the 46%, goes into effect on April 9th. Why Vietnam? So Vietnam is kind of at the center of this. Well, Nintendo, during Trump's first term, moved a lot of their production out of China. And they moved it to Vietnam. Basically saying, you know, Trump, the United States is currently in a trade war with China, and they had been since Trump's first term. So in the late 2010s, early 2020s, they started shifting a lot of their production to Vietnam. My Nintendo Switch I bought on launch day says made in China. And you can actually look on the back of the Switch. It's the third line. It's a little fine print. It'll tell you where it's made. Later Switches are made in Vietnam. And so MST financial analyst David Gibson told Kotaku last fall, quote, Switch production has been shifting to Vietnam and is around 50-50 versus China currently. Expect more production to shift to Vietnam with Switch 2, but it takes 6 months or more to gear up. If the mix does not change, then the prices go up 35% plus more for U.S. consumers, unquote. And Questmaster says, we're not even talking about how they came up with these figures, because that's a whole other can of confused worms. These are not actually reciprocal. It is basically they took the percentage. And this is actually, like, they showed the math, is they took the percentage of how much we buy from those countries and how much they buy from us. And if we bought more from them than they bought from us, we taxed them at that percentage. With the tariff is that percentage. They do not take into account their population density. They don't take into account any of that stuff. But it's basically like, oh, you know, you went to the store and you bought $50 from the store and the store bought nothing from you. So they're going to tax the store 25%, and now you have to pay $75 for that stuff that's $50. That's how they came up with these numbers. And these numbers were all given to them by, I believe they said that they asked all four economic reality people, ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, and Grok. All four of those AI assistants came up when they were asked, how do you put global tariffs fairly? They came up literally with all the exact same answers. So that's how they calculated them. And, there are debates to be made about if that's the right way to do it. I'm just strong about, okay, this is what we're doing. And that formula, by the way, did have two Greek letters in it. In the denominator. So they were like, oh, you look at this minus this, and then you multiply these two Greek letters by the second number. And they set the first Greek letter to 4 and the other Greek letter to 0.25, which means that they equal to 1. They basically cancel each other out because 4 times 1/4 is 1. So, and those were constants. So they did, those weren't variable. They were just constants and they were Greek letters. Anyway, so what this means is that since they sourced it from Vietnam instead of China, which did not have a huge tariff, now when Nintendo of America brings in their shipment of Nintendo Switch 2 systems, they now have to pay 46% of the value of that each system to the federal government. And it is very possible, because even I thought that the reason the price was so high of $450 was because they baked in the tariff situation into the price. Because if you assume that $450 is the price after a 25% tariff, which is what a lot of economists were expecting, you get $360. So it's basically 25% of $360 adds $90, which gets you to $450. And so maybe the original plan for Nintendo was it would retail for $399. But with the 25% tariff, they're like, let's give us a little bit of a buffer. And I'm also not saying that the entire price of the Nintendo Switch is what is taxed. I am not smart enough to know how much of the $450 is actually the value that is taxed. I'm not smart enough to know that. So it is most likely not the entire $360 that I was assuming. It might be $300. But still, you know, that's a sizable thing, and consoles are already sold at a loss. They are usually sold... They actually lose money on each console sold because they try to make the money with the games. It's the razor and blade analogy. It's been a thing in consoles for 40 years now, is the consoles are sold at a loss until the parts get cheap enough, and then they make a profit on them later in their life cycle. But at the beginning, you're usually sold at a loss, except for, I want to say Microsoft or something. One of the companies doesn't sell it as a loss. Or Nintendo doesn't really sell it as a loss. So E3VL corrected me on that. They probably baked that in. But then when 46% became the thing and it was taxed on Vietnam, which nobody expected, nobody called this. No economist called this or anything like that. Nintendo's like, okay, well, unfortunately, as E3VL pointed out and corrected me earlier, and this is why I like having live chat. Thank you so much, E3VL. Nintendo doesn't sell their consoles at a loss. They would have to sell their console at probably a $50 or $60 loss to keep the original price that they announced. So that's why they pulled back on the, okay, we're not going to let people in the U.S. pre-order because we want to see how this shakes out. And DJ Ramos also says, Nintendo makes a profit off each console sold except for the 3DS. So I was wrong, but hey, that's why I have live chat. So anything I said about Nintendo make big things at a loss, I am wrong about that. DJ Rama S says, I seriously believe that Nintendo didn't take into consideration of the tariffs, given that the Switch 2 is going for $500 US and the two different Switch consoles in Japan. So what Ranma is talking about is there are two different Switch 2 consoles in Japan. One is Japanese only. You can only use the Japanese language. It is retailing in Japan for 49,980 yen. And that, because of the weak yen to the dollar, that's about like $330. It's probably $333, something like that. But it's around that. But the actual multilingual Switch 2 in Japan is the, what, 69,980 yen, I believe, which does basically translate to 460 US dollars. And also worldwide, it's $450 to $500 if you, you know, take euros into account and stuff, like all that stuff. And I think maybe what they did, why they did that, is instead of having it be more expensive in the U.S. and not more expensive everywhere else, they took this as an opportunity to raise the prices everywhere in anticipation of U.S. tariffs. So the American people wouldn't feel like they're being singled out to have to pay more than France or Germany or anything like that. So it was probably a calculation because they didn't really want to delve into the politics of things. They didn't want to put a line item, say, this is because of your politics. They didn't want to get into that. Nintendo famously does not want to get into the public perception of politics, which is why they pulled out of the Tokyo Olympics that occurred in 2021, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. They were in the announcement of the 2020 Olympics when they handed it off in 2016. Mario came out of the pipe and waved in the closing ceremony when they did the handoff from the 2016 to the 2020 Olympics, and there was no Nintendo representation because there was a big political firestorm over even having the Olympics while at the beginning part of the pandemic. I'm not going to say while the pandemic was going on, because that pandemic's still going on, but they didn't want to be associated with that kind of firestorm, so they just kind of were like, we're out. We're gonna be quiet. So they probably didn't want to get into, wade into that. Now, OG Happy Dude in chat says, so if my question is, if the tariffs get shut down by the House or Senate or anything else, which that is a legal thing that can happen, will Nintendo keep the $450 price tag, or will we go into the more reasonable $350 price range? I do not see them lowering the price at this point in time. What I will see them doing is saying, okay, it actually is $450. Because they're not going to lower the price. They're thinking about raising the price. Because if they were going to lower the price, then the pre-orders, it's not no big deal. Because they'd be like, hey, you pre-ordered it, and guess what? You don't have to pay as much now. That is a much easier sell than, hey, you pre-ordered it, but now it costs $100 more. So I don't think, so a price drop is not on the table right now. A price hike in the U.S. is. Duke University Associate Economics Professor Celix Tillenot told 404 Media, quote, I think two things can be true at the same time. Number one, it is likely that Nintendo did not expect the tariff on Vietnam to be 46%. And number two, it is costly for firms to change prices, particularly after publicly announcing one. So I would think it is somewhat uncertain what they will do. One possibility would be for the price to remain unchanged, but the price of complementary goods to increase, such as games. This is why we're not going to be able to pre-order the Switch 2. You can still register your interest on Nintendo.com. They have a pre-order thing going on, where you can register your interest, and they'll email you in May, and you can order direct from Nintendo. You might not get it on day one, but you might get it on day two or three. I don't know. And you might be asking, why didn't Nintendo prepare for this? Well, A, nobody prepared for this. A lot of economic analysts who initially liked the idea, hate how this is going. They think this is rash and unsustainable. Jim Cramer, the CNBC guy who, a lot of people say has a lot of wrong opinions. I don't watch him. But even he's like, look, this is bad. I did not think it was going to be like this. This is dumb. Esther and Matt says, I think if things get more consumer friendly, we might see it later on with the Switch 2 Lite or Switch 2 variant, but that's not going to happen for many years. Now, here's another way that this could resolve itself, because in the realm of, let's say, like politics and stuff like that, there is always something that breaks the back of a population. And for some people, it's messing with their games. They probably didn't care until now. But one thing that could possibly stop that, and it may be something that will do, is that this particular problem may sort itself out, because the country of Vietnam is actually coming to the table and wanting to negotiate with the United States. Business Insider reports that Vietnam is looking to negotiate to remove all U.S. import tariffs as it pushes for a delay to levies announced by President Donald Trump earlier this week, a senior official said Sunday. Bui Tan Son, one of Vietnam's several deputy prime ministers, said during a reception for the U.S. ambassador to Vietnam, Mark Knapper, that the government was ready to work out a deal to reduce the tariff on U.S. goods to 0%. He also called for a delay to Trump's 46% levy on Vietnamese imports announced as part of Trump's Liberation Day tariffs, quote, to create an environment conducive to the two sides' tax negotiations, unquote. To Tho Lam, the head of Vietnam's Communist Party, has sent a special envoy to the U.S. to continue talks on the matter. Lama's reportedly requested that Trump postpone the tariffs by at least 45 days after April 9th. How many days is June 5th from April 9th? Bui's statement confirms comments made by Trump in a Truth Social post on Friday. The president said he held a very productive call with Lam, who said he told him that Vietnam wanted to make an arrangement to cut tariff on U.S. goods to zero. Nike, which has key manufacturing facilities in Vietnam, saw its stock surge on the back of Trump's post. This is actually what I believe the current administration wants. They want the other companies to come, or the other countries, and maybe even the other corporations here in America to come kiss the ring. And then they will magically exempt them. So you're probably wondering why, by the way, May 24th is 45 days. So it doesn't quite make it to June, but you know, you can, if the stock is already, if you've already imported it into America, and I believe Nintendo has already imported something like not quite a million consoles, but they have already implemented, like the Switch 2 exists. Like it's already there. It's already boxed. It's ready to go on store shelves now. And they have been trying to rush getting them in. Those aren't going to be tariffed because they came in. They're already in the country. They've already gotten in Nintendo's hands. There's nothing the government can do. What Vietnam's trying to do is trying to save a lot of their stuff, because why does Nintendo use Vietnam, or how did that happen? Nintendo did not build the factories in Vietnam. What Vietnam did was they saw the trade war happening and said, hey, let's, as a country, as a communist country, by the way, as a country, let's invest in these factories and in the supply pipeline and all this to lure some of this production away from China, from these companies that do a lot with the U.S., and the U.S. is currently in a trade war with China. So they got all that infrastructure in place and then got Nintendo to come in and use that infrastructure. And Nintendo happily started using that infrastructure, and that is where the Switch 2 production is being done. But Vietnam actually put all the infrastructure in place as a country first, and then Nintendo came in to do that. A lot of people would be like, well, what if Nintendo just builds factories in the U.S. and they build the Switch 2 in the U.S.? It takes years to get that. And also, you have to train the people. Americans are not currently trained to do that type of electronic component manufacturing because we don't have to. All that is being done elsewhere, and there's nobody here to teach them how to do it. And it's not just like the old days of you get a bolt and a screw and you screw things in. There's no screws on modern components anymore. Like, or they are, they're really tiny and a robot does them. So it's not like the old factory, you know, the factory line of before when America was leading the industrial revolution. And as Sheridan Matt says, you know, it's going to take 3 to 5 years to get manufacturing up and running in this country. And so if you ask people, the reason these tariffs exist is to get companies, private companies, to invest in America, to bring their factories here and then hire Americans at higher wages to build the stuff, which would raise the price the same 25% that they're raising on the tariff. It's basically saying, hey, it's not going to be any cheaper. We're going to make sure it's not cheaper for you to use outside labor. So you might as well use American labor. It's going to cost the same price to the end consumer. But if you don't want to pay the government that money, you should pay workers in America that money instead. Yes, Jeremy Mann even says it takes 18 months of local red tape to get through just before breaking ground. So they couldn't even start building the physical factory for 18 months. But in Vietnam, Nintendo didn't have to build that factory. Vietnam built the factory and said, hey, this is available. Do you want it? So if Vietnam is actually able to do that, that is actually going to take the wind of the sail out of the sails of a lot of people who possibly would have called their senators and called their representatives, because Congress, the United States Congress, can go in and repeal the law that the president is currently using to implement tariffs. He is using emergency declarations saying that we are at war. Congress actually controls the purse strings. However, Congress gave the president of the United States, and it wasn't this year, it was in the past, gave the president of the United States the ability to set emergency tariffs in emergency situations with no guardrails. So, unfortunately, a bill that is veto-proof would need to go through the House and the Senate, and that's not going to happen. But that's how this can be fixed, kind of, sort of. But now it's like, well, then what happens the next week, right? So this is actually going to impact a lot of hobbies in America, okay? Because we're talking about the Switch 2, and this is the most, the highest part of this. And, you know, if you're going to ask, like, when is, you know, is the Xbox and the PS5 going to go up in price? It really depends on how much of the inventory needs to come in to America. And how much, you know, or if they're ever going to need to bring in more, because they've got a warehouse here. So if maybe Sony and Microsoft can eat the cost of the tariffs, if they do have to import new inventory from wherever they're manufacturing their consoles, then, you know, we might not see the Xbox and PS5 prices go up. I will also say that you could have some economic tourism, because maybe you don't want to pay $600 for a Switch if it's going to be that. I don't know how much it's actually going to cost. But if it goes up to like $600 and you're like, well, I could go to Canada or I could go to Mexico and buy it for the equivalent of $460 and get a vacation out of it. So ultimately, you're spending more money, but you're getting a vacation out of it. And you, if you're wondering about how that works, if you go to, let's say, Canada, and you buy it there, and you open the box while in Canada, you open the box, you take it out, and you start using it, it is no longer an imported good into the U.S. It is now a personal, it's now personal property. And you can bring in, I believe, up to 10, like right now, who knows if this changes, you can bring in, I think, up to $10,000 of personal property when you're going on vacation and when you come back. So you could, like, and Mike Deff says, yes, I laugh because you think you're going to find it for cheaper here. I don't know. But that is the way that the economic tourism works. But you have to open it. That's the key. If it is still sealed and shrink-wrapped, theoretically, if Border Patrol looks at it and Customs looks at it, they could charge you the import, they charge you the tariff for that country where it came from. You would have to pay the federal government that tariff because you are now the one importing it. DJ RMS says, same thing in Japan. Some places will not charge you the tax if you show your passport, but they will seal the package. If you break the seal and TSA checks your luggage, you have to pay the tax. Yeah, and Mike Def says, people buy laptops or stuff like that and open the box and get rid of it and just carry the thing like they've had it for years. So that's how you would do it. I'm not a lawyer, but that is how you would get around the import tax, but there may be other customs things that you have to declare. And they may tighten down on that because, you know, you're trying to get around money that should, they believe, rightfully should go to the federal government. Because remember, all these tariffs and the import taxes go directly to the federal government, and they actually say that's going to raise $600 billion a year, with up to like $6 trillion raised over the next 10 years added to the federal budget. That's why they're doing this. Now, the other hobbies that I'm going to talk about real quick is board and tabletop games. This destroys the board and tabletop industry in the United States of America. Steve Jackson Games. Steve Jackson is a friend of the show because I did a panel with him at Dragon Con. Lovely person, amazing person, been around for a long, long time. Has had run-ins with the federal government because they seized all of Steve Jackson Games stuff in the 90s because they thought that they were the Illuminati. Really interesting stuff. I did not mention that at all when I met Steve Jackson in person because I think he wants that whole FBI raid behind him and stuff like that. But they use China. And on April 5th, a 54% tariff went into effect on a wide range of goods imported from China. For those of us who create board games, this is not just a policy change. This is a seismic shift. So this is actually from Steve Jackson Games CEO. At Steve Jackson Games, we are actively assessing what this means for our products, our pricing, and our future plans. We do know that we can't absorb this kind of cost increase without raising prices. We've done our best over the past few years to shield players and retailers from the full brunt of raising freight costs and other increases, but this new tax changes the equation entirely. So here's the numbers. A product that we might have manufactured in China for $3 last year could now cost $4.62 before we even ship it across the ocean. Add freight, warehousing, fulfillment, and distribution margins, and that once $25 game quickly becomes a $40 product. That's not a luxury upcharge, it's survival math. Some people ask, why not manufacture in the U.S.? I wish we could, but the infrastructure to support full-scale board game production, specialty dice making, die cutting, custom plastic and wood components does not meaningfully exist in the United States yet. I've gotten quotes. I've talked to factories. Even when the willingness is there, the equipment, labor, and timelines simply aren't. So the math was only partially given, but the key part that you need to realize there, because you're going to sit there and go, it only went up $1.62. Right? It only went up $1.62. But when you realize that all the other stuff, add freight, warehousing, fulfillment, and distribution margins, all of that are actually percentages of what the price of the product was. So if freight takes 1%, 1% of $4.62 is more than 1% of $3. So everything, everybody is taking 54% more along the way. So your freight is also 54% more expensive. Your warehousing is also 54% more expensive. Your fulfillment is also 54% more expensive. And your distribution margins, all that stuff, that's why a $25 game becomes $50. Because yes, you're right. China, the actual product itself went from $3 to $4.62. However, everybody else said, well, that's $4.62, so that's, we're going to charge you a percentage of that. They don't charge you a percentage of the $3. They charge you a percentage of the $4.62. And that's where, and frankly, a game that you're used to seeing just $25 from Steve Jackson Games, you're not going to pay $40 for that. You're going to have like a board game that might have been $50. You're not going to pay close to $100 for that board game. That's not worth it. Right? And tabletop games are also facing a lot of this, especially independent creators. And they've just been hitting their stride recently. Like, this is like, it's going to destroy a lot of companies. Like, people, you think layoffs are bad? People are like, I'm just going to shut down the company. We can't afford to distribute our games anymore. And some people would say, well, if you have to use quote unquote slave labor or low paid people, blah, blah, blah. If you can't, then maybe you shouldn't be in business. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to be in business. Because the thing is, the value of something is A, what somebody is willing to sell it for, and B, what someone is willing to pay for it. And I don't think people are willing to pay $100 for board games unless it's a huge board game. They're not, and that is the value of something. It is going to be too much. And so if they can't sell something for one, if it costs somebody now almost $100 to make something and you're not willing to buy it for $100, they shouldn't make it. GAMA, which is the Game Manufacturers Association, said Thursday that it's going to be a disaster for the entire hobbyist industry. Now, these are all hobbies. They're luxury goods. These are not requirements. So people are just going to not have them. You're not going to die from it, but you're just not going to have it. They say, quote, the latest imposition of a 54% tariff on products from China by the administration is dire news for the tabletop industry and the broader U.S. economy. As an industry highly dependent on producing goods overseas and importing them into the U.S., this policy will have devastating consequences. Tariffs are essentially taxes on consumers, not on the countries where the products are produced. Publishers will be forced to pass these costs on along to their customers or face the prospect of ceasing operations. Nearly a third of all U.S. consumer goods, including clothes, food products, appliances, cars, and entertainment items like games, are imported. This means higher prices across the board, as all these products will need to increase prices to compensate for these new Trump taxes, unquote. And it says, quote, this 1-2 punch is likely to put many of our members out of business or force them to downsize and lay off employees to survive, unquote. And also the 1-2 punch, the other one is discretionary spending is going to decrease because everything's going to be more expensive and we're going to have to pay more for food because not every piece of food can be grown in the U.S. at all times of the year. There are things called seasons on this planet. And there are things that we have year-round that don't grow year-round. But, hey, in the Southern Hemisphere, those things grow. So we import them, and they're going to cost a lot more now. Nearly a dozen organizations expressed dismay in emails to Polygon. A membership of a leadership team at an established tabletop role-playing publisher said uncertainty instigated by the incoming administration had impacted their revenue since at least January. Now the tariffs are poised to deliver a knockout blow. They said, quote, the news is bad from every angle, but especially so for card games and RPGs printed in China. The choice seems to be either one, a massive price to hike to pay for the new import taxes, or two, go to a direct sales model that removes the hobby distributors from the equation, unquote. And then there's one thing, Michael Addison from Nerdy Pup Games says, quote, I had to cancel a print run of one of our board games this morning. We're basically putting all manufacturing on hold. We currently make both board games and tabletop role-playing games. There's a chance we are just simply done making board games for the foreseeable future, unquote. And there was another Coyote and Crow says, quote, the proposed tariffs on China will essentially kill my company, unquote. And that's what they had said. There are people like, yeah, okay, maybe we just make PDFs now. And it's all, you know, the tabletop board games, PDFs. Or one person was, there's a Liana McKenzie, owner of Valorous Games, says, quote, we have been looking at printing in either South Korea or Vietnam instead of China, but with all the encompassing nature of the planned tariffs, I don't know how feasible that would be. And they're going to only do public digital-only content, but they said, we're entirely self-funded through my day job and whatever we can get through conventions. So not having a physical book is not at all ideal, but that just may be where we're at, unquote. So the reason they would want physical is because then they can go to conventions, you can look at it, and then buy it. And that infrastructure just doesn't exist in the U.S., and you're not going to pay $100 for a book. Why would you? this is also affecting a lot of Kickstarters. There was actually a comics Kickstarter saying that they're actually just going to cancel and refund everyone on Kickstarter because they would lose more money fulfilling the orders with the tariffs than the money they lose for canceling the Kickstarter. And they said it's going to push people out of the industry and probably shut down already struggling companies. And Questbuster says there's another tabletop maker, Stonemaier, that also posted about how hard the tariffs will hit them. They expect that some of their peers will focus on more low-cost products like cards to stay alive and move away from the kind of board games they make. So, you know, and you know, there's going to be used games aren't tariffed. So we won't see new innovation. It's going to be all, you know, there's a lot of board games out there, so you can buy them at used stores, you know, swap meets and stuff like that. So it's not that you're going to run out of board games to play. You're just not going to have new ones on the shelf in America. So, so yeah, the secondhand market's going to thrive. But this is the reality of what we're going to get unless things change. Now, in, you know, John Oliver fashion, what can we do about it? I'm not John Oliver. We're about the same age. That's the really weird part to me. But, you know, what can we do? If you are in the United States, call your representatives, call your senators, and actually call them and tell them that they need to do something about this. And, especially if they, are not of the same persuasion as you, call them because they notice that. And that's the only thing we can really do. This is going to basically hurt all of the independents. It's going to hurt all of the small businesses because Hasbro has their own factories. Even Ravensburger, which is a big board game publisher, they've got their own factories. They're not going to be as affected by this. But the smaller ones, the indie ones, the ones that have all the ones that take the risks, because great art is takes risks, all of that, they're the ones that are going to be affected by this here in America. Now, there's still going to be a thriving board game economy out in Europe because German board games, strategic board games, German board games, all of that is still going to happen because there is the rest of the world. Like, there's only 350 million people in America. There's 7 billion people in the world. We might have the most money, which is even debatable at this point, but we are not the majority of the world. And we're going to start seeing countries all work with each other and kind of cut America out. So if you're not in the U.S., kudos, because this will affect a little bit, but y'all will persevere and there will still be board games made. They're just not going to be made in America. They're going to be made in Germany and you're not going to be able to get them in America because nobody's going to want to import them into America and pay all the tariffs. As Sharon Mann says, go to town halls if your representative is doing one. Go to protests. Go to family-friendly protests. There was one of those this past weekend. A lot of people all around the country have been doing that. And make your voice heard. Because even if you agree with the idea, the broad idea, this is not the implementation that you probably wanted. And I've heard that from a lot of people of a persuasion that I don't agree with personally, is that they like the idea of downsizing the government. They hate the way that we're downsizing our government. They like the idea of getting a little bit more economic independence. They hate the way that we're actually trying to get that economic independence. I apologize to those of you who tuned in who wanted to hear about video games. I apologize to those of you who tune in wanting to maybe talk about the Minecraft movie. I wanted to talk about Mario Kart World and Game Share and Game Chat. I wanted to do all that. Unfortunately, I only get, well, fortunately, because I really don't want to do longer than an hour, I only get 1 hour a week. And coming up next is somebody who does talk for a little bit longer, and they probably will get into some of those topics. Orange Lounge Radio, they're coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We like to call in and check with them and see what they're going to talk about as well tonight or what their thoughts are. And I love this comment from Pod Culture. Pod Culture would have rather me have talked about sports ball. But this is, you know, but this is important. Sacrament, are you there?
I am here, and it's your show, your rules, but I think you should stop apologizing.
Yeah.
Like, we are all in this together. You remember that famous saying? Elections have consequences. Yep. Here they are, folks. Here they are. And yes, to every Twitch streamer that's ever been like, well, I don't want to talk about politics. Politics stays out of my gaming. And all, tough. I was going to say something. It's probably not tough jerky, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
tough tweety, mm-hmm. because it's here and it's impacting your games.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what needed to happen for some people to care. I really don't know. But anyhow, that's my opinion and not reflective of the fine, unoffensive Bobby Blackwolf.
Yes. Well, thank you. Because there was stuff on the Treehouse Live. I'm like, oh, I could talk about that. And that's kind of cool. And, you know, like the GameCube, it does have the widescreen on the GameCube stuff. Ooh, F-Zero GX looks amazing.
There is a lot of interesting stuff that's coming to the Switch too. I've kind of resigned myself at this point that I probably just won't be getting one until holiday, hoping that some of this kind of works itself out by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, but I also kind of go, well, I didn't get a PlayStation 5 for 2 years and I turned out okay.
Yeah.
So if I have to wait until something like, say, a certain midterm election to happen in this country to maybe start to correct some of the wrongs that have been made before I get to have a Switch 2, I'm kind of resigned to that at this point. I don't need the video game that bad to have to pay the government extra money to be able to play it. And I'm not interested in doing that personally.
And most of the games other than Mario Kart World are coming to the Switch 1. Which is also what Sony did with the PlayStation. Like a lot of the PS5 games came to the PS4 for the first year.
True, but to be fair, I have no interest in playing Metroid Prime 4 without that new mouse control and the 100. So it's fun, but I can wait. That's the amazing thing about video games. Ultimately, I can wait. I didn't play the Pixel remasters until they came to PlayStation. And off of Steam and all that. I did not play Fantasian until it was no longer an Apple exclusive and came to Sony. There's many games that I just waited for the circumstances to be right until I didn't get into Mass Effect until 8 years after the first game came out.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Like, get the nice thing about art is it lasts a very long time, which is why gaming preservation is so important.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm not really worried about any of those issues affecting my enjoyment of the Switch 2 in the long term.
Yeah. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight? I assume this is going to take a lot. The same thing is going to take a lot. But you get two and a half hours. So, you know,
we do. So we will be detailing a little bit more of like the news that was announced alongside it with the games and so forth. I know you and I did a stream earlier this week. But, you know, for the sake of our folks that listen just weekly, we want to be able to touch on a little bit more of that. But there are some things going on. Unfortunately, some of it has to do with layoffs. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Evercade putting together a nice little retro package that's going to be coming out pretty soon as well. I don't know how any of this impacts that, but I'm just going to choose to ignore that topic for now. We'll also talk about some things that happened on April Fool's Day. Remember that April Fool's Day was this week? And one of the things that happened was a GOAT Direct. And you know Loki loves Goat Simulator. Yep. And we're going to talk a little bit about all the Goat Simulator news of the week. So there are things that are going on. And yes, Loki loves Minecraft. A lot. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to give him the space to talk about the movie. We have to. And we'll talk about some of the leaks online of that as well. Lots of stuff.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with us directly, and maybe we'll talk about video games. I probably won't see the Minecraft movie just because everybody's apparently being rowdy in the theaters. I'll just wait. I can wait to see the Minecraft movie. I have the toys. We got some of the toys from McDonald's. And my wife has one of the toys. I will never see this one again. It's going to be in her office. But I've got the toys, so I will hold off a little bit until I can see it. Anyway, that's it. I am going to be on Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord throughout the week. You can react and talk about things there, and we can discuss more things there in a little bit more time than I have in this 1 hour window. Or you can find me on Blue Sky at bobbyblackwolf.com. where I will post some things and post pictures of cats or post pictures of sports ball and videos of sports ball and things like that. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we could not make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond, which we actually got to. We did get 100 bits. Thank you so much, Mike Deft. And you said, thank you, Bobby. No need to apologize for speaking when it needs to be talked about. This is important and it affects us in so many ways. And it's going to affect us in a lot more ways than we even know today. And that is the part that we need to kind of stay awake for, so to speak. I'm going to hit the button. There's the button that gets us out of here. Thank you so much. I will see you next week. And take care of each other, please. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.